Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Ryan Clark Slocum. Ryan is an active DJ, producer, videographer, and educator based in Harrisonburg, Virginia. He has a background in improvisation, piano, turntablism that fuels his creativity to balance recording and producing. He collaborates with other talented artists to create unique audio and visual projects in our beautiful Shenandoah Valley. With over 8 years of experience and having performed at more than 550 events, you can hire Ryan to DJ and he'll turn it up to make your next wedding or event memorable and fun. Welcome to the show, Ryan. It's great to have you on here today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. People will have missed our take 5 or 6 I did there because our sound guy is going to edit that out. So if it shows up on your video you put out there, oh my.
All the hiccups are beautiful, too.
Hiccups are beautiful. We learn from our mistakes, don't we? And just grow like gangbusters if we choose to. Correct? Yeah, I think so, too. Well, this really is exciting to be talking to you today. You have many, 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 many talents. How does one become a DJ and multidimensional artist such as yourself? Can you tell us your story?
Yeah, so I have only had one life that I'm aware of right now, and so I can tell you a little bit about that. And yeah, I was born in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I was able to have two older brothers and a younger sister when I grew up, and I was able to learn how to play the piano a little bit when I was younger, and then that led to me teaching myself just more via YouTube and pop songs that I liked on the piano. And then that led to me taking some of my parents' records and starting to make beats when I was in high school and passing out beat CDs and little mixtapes when I was at Harrisonburg High School. And then that led me into DJing when I was at James Madison University. And then throughout that, I was still creating and making music. And then, yeah, ever since 2014, I have been DJing as my main gig, and I only DJ a couple times a week. So during the other times of the week, that allowed me to explore my other passions and my other creative outlets via recording or writing. And, I was able to connect with some of the local youth and local schools and organizations like On the Road Collaborative to just share my own experience and connect with people. And so, yeah, I have one particular story. And I think what I try to do is use that to encourage others and inspire others and try to like see the potential and reflect potential in other people.
When you say particular story, what do you mean by that? You have one particular story.
Just that I'm only one person.
I got you. Okay.
And just that my story is very, unique to me. And I think there's probably a million different ways that one could explore their own creativity. And so for me, DJing happened to be one of the bigger and main outlets for me. And I think part of that was going up to New York and seeing and experiencing some of the best DJs in the world and just coming back home, being fairly humbled and saying, I got a lot of work to do and kind of put things into perspective for me. And still continues to do so.
Yeah. When was the New York trip and what was the name of that event?
So I started going up to New York City in 2012. I had been there a few times when I was a kid, but my first somewhat more extensive stay for a couple months was in 2012, where I was able to intern at a record label and experience these Tools of War park jams, is what they were called, in the Bronx, in Harlem. And yeah, I just met some incredible people there and just like really just absorbed what I was, where I was and what was happening. And yeah, since then, the next summer I went back up and started working more with the people that were doing the media and the video productions for those events. And so that I was then able to PA and be a runner and do things for Summer Stage, the Central Park series. I think that was probably summer of 2013. And yeah, just kind of ever since graduating, I had gone back and forth up from there. And yeah, kind of that's always been with me and has played a part in what I do now.
That's really amazing. See, I knew this was going to be incredible. I had no idea that was part of your story. That's lovely. Your parents, I'm curious, their albums that you chose to, I don't know, turntable or what's the word? What's right. The phrase? What is it that you do with that? What's it called?
At the time, what I was doing was I think they had one or two crates of records that they had held on to. And they didn't really play any longer. And so I bought myself a turntable and a mixer. And then what I was doing was taking pieces from these records and trying to manipulate them and interpret them and sample them to make my own beats. And some of which were really bad, and some of which my friends really always still talk to me about. So. So yeah, it was a good experience for sure.
What were the albums they owned that they weren't listening to anymore? Do you remember?
I remember there's some Michael Jackson in there. There was Doobie Brothers, Jackson Brown, Billy Joel, Average White Band, just a lot of different stuff. And yeah, that just made me want to go buy my own. So that's when I started going downtown in Harrisonburg looking for records and old, like the old Hess furniture or different places that I would just started collecting and amassing my own vinyl collection too.
That's really cool, Ryan. Yeah, we know you as Ryan Slocum, our son, Landon Turner. You went to high school with him at Harrisonburg High School. Where does the Ryan Clark come from?
So that was Clark, I believe it was my grandmother's, on my mother's side's maiden name.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's just been my middle name. And when I started to DJ, that was just kind of what I went with. It was just kind of short, and Ryan Clark is really what it's been. And some people throw the DJ in front of it. Some people just do Ryan Clark. And I also really do like my last name of Slocum. I was just visiting the Slocum side of the family last week in New York, in the Rochester area. And my dad's from Scottsville, New York. And so there's a lot of Slocum family history that I really appreciate. So I'm not opposed to whichever combination of words are used to describe me or call me out. So, yeah.
Yeah, you'll answer to any of them. It's great.
Yeah, I'm not mad unless you're being mean, and then
then that's not good. That's good. What is it that you love the most about being an artist?
I like space. I've ever since I was a kid, I've just always liked to be alone, and I've liked my own space. And I mean, even if I'm in a group of people, sometimes I just get lost in my own head, and I kind of seek like refuge there. Like I feel comfortable in my own head. There's a lot of weird things that are bouncing around up there. And yeah, I just really appreciate space. And I think creativity and expression really is about that. It's like feeling like you have space and then doing something with it.
That's really neat. Yeah, you have such an extraordinary breadth of experience with these multi-dimensions. One of the things we're curious about, this is my husband's question, by the way. This is more on the DJ end of things. What are some recent technological innovations that have happened that non-DJs wouldn't know about?
Oh, man. I feel like there's still so many things that are happening. One that comes to mind is AI artists. There's AI entities that I believe will soon have Billboard charting songs.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I think that's going to happen. And I would really love to collaborate with something like that.
Oh my gosh. So artificial intelligence is creating music, if I heard this correct.
Yeah, I believe I'm not super deep into it.
Okay.
But there are some things that I follow that are really exciting.
Can you share one of those with us that you're following that's so exciting?
Honestly, not at the moment. Like couldn't, but I just, there are different, there's just like the way music and tech are moving and also now collaborating and just like intertwining is super, super exciting to me. And I think too, another trend that I see is artists being self-sustaining and not necessarily needing any sort of gatekeeper or middleman to what they're doing to reach their audience. Now things, the direct to consumer, I guess, and model is super interesting to me. And also I've seen a lot more, especially over the last year, a lot more artists forming and collaborating with what they may have used to think of as just their fans are now more of like feedback people and like people that other creatives and like other people that they're building community with. And to me, that is really exciting and has informed how I think about my art because, I really, in terms of my process, I really want to invite other people in and not make it this like, ooh, I'm artsy and I do art and this is a statement and I'm like holier than thou kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah. Creating some community with people that have like interests, both fans and other artists, it sounds like. So what kind of feedback would they give? I like the speed. I don't know. I like the tune or beat of that. What would be an example of feedback that would come through in that format or in that kind of collaboration?
Yeah, I think what I appreciate is the kind of the variety of feedback that I do receive because I'll get feedback from people that may not necessarily make music or anything like that. And then I'll get feedback from the people that are like super technical and like, are like, you should turn the piano down a little bit. You should put this effect on this thing and you should do this. And sometimes I almost gravitate towards the feedback that I get from people that aren't as,
music savvy.
Yeah. Just because I don't know if it's easier for me that way or what, but, just one thing in particular, lately I've just been thinking about putting out songs that are like half a minute long or 47 seconds or whatnot. And I think there is this like, oh yeah, people's attention spans are shorter now and like this is the end of the world. But I think it's also just like part of how technology is changing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the things that we're making with technology changing as well. I think those things kind of should go hand in hand.
Yeah, I think so too. That's really interesting. So where are you doing this collaborative with the community that's out there direct to consumer? For you, is that on TikTok or is you have YouTube or social media? How do you connect with the community at large?
Yeah, right now I've mostly done like just a lot of text messaging and Instagram and all of these different platforms. And I want to explore more though around just different forms of connecting with others, whether it's a Discord channel or a subscription model for what I do. Whereas like, you know, people, I think what's going to happen more and more is there's people that subscribe to Spotify for X amount of dollars a month. I think more and more though, people will start to subscribe to an artist and someone that they really like, and just be like, oh yeah, I really like this artist. How can I support them? And also there's more things happening now where the people that are supporting the artists are actually getting stake and have some mm-hmm. can have some sort of ownership in what's being created too. So there's a lot of things that are happening within that space, and that kind of gets into the NFTs and a lot of that stuff that I, again, don't really know a ton about, but am interested in the evolution of.
What does NFT stand for?
I think it's a non-fungible token.
Okay. All right. And that's how that works, the money exchange in this new innovative format that's trending.
Right. Yeah. I recently saw something that popped up called a STOE, a song that owns itself. And
okay.
They invited people in to take ownership of the song. Again, I don't know a ton about it.
But it's a trend that's happening that you're aware
there's
of.
A lot. Yeah, there's a lot more that's a lot of things that are happening around art and how we consume it, and how I think we're starting to reevaluate how we value it.
Yes, how we value it, how we're paying for it, how we're getting to it. And now fans are becoming influencers for the artists through social media platforms. We are in the middle of an evolution for sure.
It's exciting.
Evolution. It is exciting. I want to ask then, who are your biggest creative influences?
Sure. First person that pops up to me is Pharrell Williams.
Oh, yes, Pharrell. I like him too.
Hugo and a ton. Stevie Wonder.
Nice.
Yeah, just and this dude, Labby Siffre, is an amazing songwriter.
Is he? I don't even know that one. Okay.
And yeah, I'll send you some of his stuff. And
please do.
Yeah, just lately, I mean, there's so much great music that's coming out now. It's it's super inspiring. And I'm just, I think it's just a super interesting time.
It is. You work with a lot of artists and rappers. When you work with them, what is your role in the process?
So I've produced a couple, I fully produced a couple different projects and mixtapes and in collaboration with other artists. And I think that, I don't know, if you were to ask me this a couple years ago, I might have said one thing. And I think what I would say now is to create space for something to happen.
Organically.
Yeah, and just to get out of the way.
Mm.
Especially when it's collaborating with an artist where I'm just the producer and like they're the one writing all the lyrics and they're the one performing and like telling their stories over instrumentals that I may have helped out with. It's really to, I think my job is just to be a mirror and to reflect whatever is happening for them at that time. And yeah, I just really think it's important to encourage people and to remind people of their strengths and to be able to reframe their weaknesses as opportunities and things to work on instead of things to beat yourself up about and then get in your head about, really.
Like a director almost too.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes there's a lot there. And yeah, just in general, even if I'm just talking to someone and I'm not really like collaborating on anything with, that's usually what I go to is like, oh, what did you say? Like the thing that is like really special about them that they might just say very quickly and then try to change the subject about is usually sometimes I'm like, that's the amazing thing about you.
To share with people in their music and what they're writing and producing or creating.
Yeah. And there's so many things to explore and so many important stories out there. I can only do so much and produce so much. And I really want to encourage other people to try to produce themselves and to think about how they can be more resourceful in their own endeavors. Because I think that's a big part of creativity is resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness. What do you mean by that exactly? Resourcefulness.
To use what you have and to do what you can with it. If you have a laptop, if you have a laptop that works, like compared to 20, 30 years ago, there's a lot of things you can do with it. And it's like laptops nowadays are like complete studios in a way. So,
yeah. Okay. So helping them take the tools that they have and create something even more creative based on what the talents they have and what's available to them and what's going to help them shine even more than they already are.
I think too, prioritizing the process and having patience with yourself is super important
as an artist.
Yeah. And I've begun to learn that myself. And I think even just over the last year, I've definitely been like, oh, okay. So I can like pace myself and focus on my own thing. And yeah. And in a way, sometimes I was always kind of like looking everywhere else to do something and collaborate. And now I've realized that working on my own thing is sometimes and most of the times the best thing that I can do.
Yeah. Very rewarding and fulfilling that way. I can relate to that. You know, this whole COVID thing has helped everybody to kind of reevaluate their life and what am I doing and, you know, what's important to me and for me, I'm a faith-based person. So where has God put me and how can you bloom right where you're planted? You know, so
yeah, that's, I love
that. Yeah, right. So, you know, going all over the place and now focusing in on how can we bring as much laughter to the valley as we can? And how can we connect people that live in the valley and outside the valley with the beautiful people that live here in this beautiful part of the country? And that's why we're on this podcast talking to you. Right. Yeah, which is fantastic. I want to ask this question. I really can't wait to ask it. Maybe I should have started with it, but I'm really curious to find this out. If you could eternally be stuck in 1 year's music scene, which year would it be? I know. And he's thinking.
I think that, I don't want to be corny, but I honestly can't really pick a year in the past. I would either say 10 years from now.
What?
This year.
Really? Now, why would you say that?
Just because I haven't done enough research in about the past to really give you a specific year.
Okay.
There. And yeah, and then also just, I don't know, maybe like when someone made, whatever year it was when someone created like the first drum or something.
Oh, that would be cool. I wonder when that was.
Right. Or yeah, or just, I don't know. I think this year is super interesting. If you just like look around, like there's a lot happening, and yeah, it's a moment right now.
I think it is too. And I think that your answer really lends to the essence of who you are, which is a creator. So it makes sense now that I'm thinking about it. You would want to look to the future because that's going to be created. That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That's really cool. Now, my husband and I have been to a wedding. You DJed for Trisha and Tanner Johnson. Nice. And for the laughers, yes. And for the laughers out there.
I might have been the best one yet.
Oh, yeah.
I still have yet to top. Yeah, all of us dancing to DMX.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. And laughers, you might remember Tanner Johnson was on this podcast episode 15 because he and his brothers run Pure Shenandoah, which is a CBD and hemp oil business here in the Valley. So if you missed it, you should go back and check that one out. But that was definitely something to be remembered. It was a blast. You were incredible. Everyone was dancing their buns off. We need to know, when you're hired as a DJ for a wedding or event, what's your process there? Do you get a playlist and bust it out? Or how does all that work? How does Ryan do it?
Sure. Yeah. So I started DJing in 2012, and since then, I've DJed ever since, and I've played over 550 gigs of all different sorts. So yeah, I do DJ, and yeah, weddings are one thing that I do within that. And so every event's different. Sometimes it'll be a hip hop show where I'm playing instrumentals for other artists to perform over. Which I've done a good bit of. I've done a lot of just club DJing, where it's just basically me just having a free form set, playing whatever I want. And then also, yeah, there's weddings where I will really just try to invite people in and be open to what their tastes are and what their preferences are, and then kind of use that and combine it with what I do and what I already know, and really just, yeah, reflect the energy of the moment is what my job is. I look at DJing as an art and a service as one thing. And yeah, so I just try to balance that and really just reflect the energy of the crowd. And if the crowd's in a really, really bad mood and they've decided to be in a really bad mood for the whole evening, sometimes it's hard to pull them out of that, but sometimes you can. And, but other times, yeah, such as, I don't know when that was, that wedding, but,
right. A few years ago, I think. Now.
Yeah. That was just like a huge celebration, and the energy reflected that.
Yes. And it was really high.
Yeah. So yeah, if I'm producing with an artist or collaborating with someone or DJing, that's kind of, I see them very similarly in that I just want to reflect what's already there.
That's really good. I like that. I've listened to some of your songs on your website's homepage. You have Mothership, Toxic Man, Take Care, Get Lost on SoundCloud. They are amazing, by the way. I don't know anything about music, but to me, it sounded like they were all made in a Nashville or Hollywood studio somewhere by the greats. I mean, wow. Yes, you are welcome. It was really, I didn't know Ryan.
this guy DJing for 8-9 years, and now he starts to try to make music. I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, I was researching this. I'm like, all right, I'll play it. And then we're in the car. Yeah, we're in the car. And my husband and I looked at each other, you know, just silently looked at each other and just nodding our head going, all right, Ryan. Nice.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, Mothership is listed as a track and the other three are saying they're solo drops.
Right, yeah. They're kind of they're all solo drops and tracks.
Okay, yeah, this is good because here's the thing. People in the music industry, they understand this lingo, but I'm not in it and I'm sure a few other laughers aren't either. I mean, can you just tell us more about the lingo there? What's going on with all that? Yes, please educate us.
Yeah, so I've been DJing for 8-9 years. I've always made beats and handed out beat CDs and mixtapes. And then 6-7 years ago, I started to write my own stuff over my own instrumentals. So it was like, oh, I can kind of produce myself. And then, I had put stuff out on SoundCloud and things like that in the past and put out a rap project, I think, in like 2018, which is like 7 songs. So that was like one of my first more intentional experiments with releasing my own stuff. And then, March of 2020 kind of forced my hand at looking at what I've been doing and what I had been writing and allowed me to record a lot more and organize a lot more, organize my studio. Even for this year, 2021, I set a goal for myself of releasing 30 songs of my own.
Whoa!
And so, yeah, so that most of those that you mentioned, except for Get Lost, which I put out last year, have come out this year. I'm making these songs for the most part by myself in my basement in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And yeah, so that's one thing. It's not in any sort of studio elsewhere. It's me using what I have here. Having produced and collaborated with so many people over the last couple of years, I've learned more along the technical aspects of like mixing and production and different things, which I still think I'm very, very, very new at. So I'm excited to see what happens next. Those are just like songs that I made and that were moments really that I captured. And now I've just been experimenting beyond that, how to share them. And I'm experimenting not only with my music, but in how I share my music, whether that goes into the artwork or the videos or social media and all that kind of stuff around it. Or like inviting people to remix certain songs, et cetera. There's a lot that goes into it. And yeah, that's like, you can tell that's what I really, really get excited about. That's what I'm on my way home from a gig. That's what I'm doing on my way home is going over those songs that I've been writing or things like that. So yeah, I could go on and on about it.
Yes. Okay. A couple of things in there. So track and solo, just for lingo, that's one and the same, an interchangeable term.
For the most part, yeah. Like sometimes I'll say, I'm releasing an audio track, which is like when it'll go up on SoundCloud and Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff. And I say that sometimes maybe for myself or maybe for other people because I've started to try to look at my art as more than just a audio experience. There's a lot that's going on there because I've always made videos too, ever since I was a kid and got a hold of my parents' old something. It was their camcorder this time, but I've always experimented with video all through high school and beyond. Trying to like blend those two things, audio and video, has been a super, super fun happening for me as well.
You're like the MTV channel of 2021.
Yeah, I'm just trying my best to be like a self-contained and self-managed creative entity.
Yeah. Yeah. So the voice on all of those, including mothership, that's you.
That's me. So yeah. Shout out my recording software and my microphones and a little bit of auto-tune, because I've never thought of myself as like a vocalist or a singer. And if anything, I think recording and being able to has actually informed myself and my own confidence in way other parts of my life, in many other parts of my life. For instance, like with like just this auto-tune plugin, which helps pitch correct your voice a little bit. So if you're like a little flat on a note, it'll kind of bump you up or down. And so that's kind of really helped me and like allowed me to kind of get ideas out and think less, which is another part of what I try to do in my process, is think less and just make more.
Get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I like it. Yeah, that's listen, laughers, is RyanClarkVA.com. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to check those out. It's really incredible. And now we know he's got another 26 or so coming.
Right. Yeah. I think I've put out like 10 to 20
this
year. And yeah, but yeah, I gotta get on it. I haven't put anything out since June, and it's August when we're recording this, so I got more to share for sure.
Yes, you got more to share for sure. Oh, well, we can't wait to hear about that. How about this? I want to ask you, what would people who don't know about the music scene in Harrisonburg be most surprised about?
Good question. There's so many different, I think maybe the variety and the breadth of talent and art here is really amazing. Sometimes people will ask me like, how's Harrisonburg? Like, what's going on? And sometimes it's hard for me to give a good answer because again, I'm like, well, like what I said earlier is like, I have one story. I have 2 feet. I don't have 2 sets of feet. That would be cool though. I do what I do, but there's so many different people and so many different types of music that is happening and being created and shared. And there's just a lot of interested people, I believe, here. And yeah, Harrisonburg is a very, very unique place. And I think, that's what it is. That's what I've always appreciated about Harrisonburg, is that it kind of goes at its own pace and like does its own thing and doesn't try to be anything. Although it might be confused at times or often. I don't know. I love it. And again, I'm sure some people hate it. And so there's room for all that. But yeah, I don't know if that answers your question or if that was a.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. It's a bit of a, I feel like it's a bit of a underground, the music scene here. And I have run into people that, there's a big music scene here and they're into music. How would someone like that get connected to the music scene? What kind of suggestions could you give to people on how to connect to the music scene if they're not already and they love it? They love music. Right. What's the best way to go about it?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like August 2021 and I don't know if I've even played out this year.
Okay. Or,
yeah, so I would say like pre-pandemic to kind of like go downtown and like listen or go look around. And yeah, maybe just, I don't know, just stay curious, I guess, would be what I would say to anybody anywhere, but also in Harrisonburg, just to stay curious. And if you see something you like, cool. And if you don't see anything that you like, that's all right too. Like, I think that's kind of part of what I've tried to do, at least like in my ideal scenario in my head here, is like, if I don't see something, like, I try not to get discouraged. I try to be like, all right, well, that means that there might be room to explore it. And so, yeah, I would encourage people that love to consume music and experience music to, yeah, maybe try to make some, or to, learn more about how they can do it and get involved. And just because I feel like everybody, no matter what, can do something creative and make a little noise and shake things up for the better.
Maybe add to the music scene. I like that.
Oh, yeah,
that could be really great. Are there some popular places? Golden Pony, I know, it has a lot of music. Clementine does music. Are there, and Restless Moods, a lot of the breweries will have music artists come in. Mm-hmm. Are there any other popular places for music I might be missing that people in the music scene hit up a lot or did pre-COVID?
Again, I always say this, but I only have one particular experience through it all. But definitely in the past, there has been a huge house show scene. Just people playing shows in basements and putting out the donation jar and respecting people and making spaces inclusive and just welcoming people into just things that they may never see or have experienced. I know that definitely informed some of what I do, is just being at a dark basement show, seeing a band that I've never heard of, that I may not even know the name of anymore, but the energy from that experience, I think, still resonates and still sticks around. That's one thing. And yeah, I mean, the birds are always humming, so I would listen to that. Sometimes I feel like when I, on a day where I like want to make music and it might not be there or something, I just need to shut up and listen. To nature. And I know that's getting on the edge of what we don't talk about on this podcast. So I want to stop.
Okay.
I loved the tagline though. What was it? We talk about everything except for hiking, or
non-hiking. Yeah. It's a podcast about all things non-hiking.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
Right, because we already have so much hiking here. So is that what you mean? We don't talk about hiking on the podcast, and you started getting into some nature, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's okay to break the rules. Now that you've said, we don't talk about it, now people are going to want to know what you wanted to say.
Right. Yeah.
So feel free to expand on that.
No, this is what I was saying. But there are so many beautiful places around Harrisburg, and just like in the valley in general, that there's a lot of just interesting, I don't know, places to experience and things to see, and birds to listen to.
Yeah, that's a great segue into this next question we have for you. I read up on you a little bit and came across that you are into dog walks and meditation to stay grounded while working creatively. Can you expand on that and speak on what that means to you and looks like for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just on, first thing this morning I did was get my dog and go on a walk. And even this morning I was able to write a little song like while we were on our walk. And just for me, it's just part of what I do and who I am. I started to pick up a daily meditation practice years ago, probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And you know, sometimes I fall off. Sometimes I don't do it for a day. But I try to every day in the morning, and then maybe later in the afternoon if I can, if once I kind of start to feel anxious or nervous. And any other time that I feel just like overwhelmed or anxious. I just try to like focus on my breathing, maybe close my eyes, sit still, go on a walk. Walks are very meditative and helpful for me. And yeah, that to me just bleeds into everything else that I do, whether it's creating or DJing or being in a relationship. Like that's super huge. It's not only as much as I want to create and like express, I have to balance that out with just absorbing and listening and just being, really, because I'm always doing so much. I just want to be able to balance that out and kind of stay centered and stay grateful and go from there. I think that's a good place to start. At least for me, it has been.
Yeah, I really like that. I had someone tell me that we are human beings, not human doings.
Nice. Yeah, I love that.
Isn't that great? Yeah. How long do you meditate? I just started meditating. I have Peloton app and I'm doing 5 minutes. That's start awesome. With 5 minutes.
Yeah. I did a quick 5 minute one this morning. So I'll try to do 15 minutes in the morning. Sometimes it's 10. Sometimes like if it's like 9:47, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do a 13-minute meditation, and then it'll be 10 o'clock when I'm done. Or and sometimes I'll do it for longer. Sometimes if I have a hard time sleeping, I'll just get up and either like do some stretches or meditate. Kind of like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And just set a little timer on my phone. And I have done some different like guided meditations and stuff like that. For the most part, I just close my eyes and focus on my breath and let the thoughts come as they will and then go as they will. And if I get lost or sidetracked, just kind of come back to my breath. And it's good because by doing so, I'm able to kind of prioritize and like naturally filter out maybe what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my day and like my intentions. And then I'm also able to I think better show up for people. I feel like if I can take care of me like in the morning, then I might be able to better serve other people.
I agree with that. As another recent interview, we were talking about that and how they tell you when you travel and you're on an airplane, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you give it to someone else, because that's how you're going to be able to be there, be present for them. And that's self-care and self-love. I like how you said setting intentions. I've recently was doing this audiobook, Seven Habits for Self-Loving People. And the first one is, you know, in the morning in your bed, you are focusing on awareness. So you take 3 deep breaths and set your intention for the day and stretch. So you're being within yourself first. And then at the end of the day, you evaluate, you know, did you meet your intention for the day and what can you learn from that? And it helps you as you're going throughout your day when you set those intentions to stay focused.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Just journaling and getting stuff out, or at the end of the day, sometimes being like, what did I do today? So then you're kind of like, if you think you didn't do anything today and then you write down what you actually did, you're like, oh, I actually did some things today. So
Yeah, that's really good. I know a lot of what can go awry is how we think, you know? Yeah. I'm learning a lot about cognitive distortion thinking too.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the thoughts that go in, we can have all or nothing thinking, overgeneralization, labeling, you know, and magnification and catastrophic thinking are all very normal cognitive distortions that we all have.
Yeah.
Learn being able to label it and then reframe it into a more balanced recognition of what's really happening can change your whole attitude and feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Things are changing and as are we. And like, we're just shifting and hopefully we can do what we can to shift so that, again, we can be there for other people.
Yeah. The book recommendation for the cognitive distortion thought is Feeling Good. It's called Feeling Good. I don't have the author's name right in front of me, but we can put that in the show notes too for people.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that. We'll have to have more conversations later on when I see you about meditation because I just started getting into it. So it's really cool to meet somebody I already know already doing it.
it's definitely a practice that has definitely informed a lot of what I do and has definitely served me in a way. Yeah, I think that's the other part of it is like, I don't want to just meditate for 20 minutes every day if it's not helping me. Like, I don't want to make it a chore that I need to do that, it becomes like dogmatic or something like that. So,
yeah, and the whole idea of it is to connect with ourselves. And be able to sit with our thoughts and our feelings and process them so that we can be staying centered and grounded, more present and open to what the world has for us each day.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's like, I'll like think to myself, it's like, do I need to meditate or do I just need to like go on a run or something? You know, like it's like, for me, it's just like, I'm super, super in my head sometimes. And then, after I meditate, I'm a little bit more like in my heart and like in my body and like more aware of like my whole being. And then from there it's super, super helpful.
yeah. Connecting with ourselves. Then we know how to make decisions because we've identified what we need and want.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Well, I didn't know our podcast episode was going there, but I love it. It's beautiful. This has been really great. How can people follow you on social media or elsewhere to best keep up with you, Ryan?
Sure. Yeah, I'm mostly on social medias. I'm on Instagram. I'm at Ryan Clark, VA, RyanClarkVA. And other than that, I mean, I'm on TikTok as well. Same thing. I think everything is pretty much Ryan Clark VA. Website's RyanClarkVA.com. And feel free to holler. I like to stay as active and as corresponding as I can on socials and whatnot. And I'm really appreciative of you and you inviting me on here.
Yes, this has been great. Laughers, we will be sure to put all that information on how you can keep up with Ryan and follow him in the show notes. Thanks again, Ryan. This has been so fun. You are a Valley gem for sure. I knew you were a talented DJ, but I'm so glad to have you on today so that we can share with the laughers the depth of your unique talents and have you educate us more on the music industry and the trends that are happening. It's been great to have you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited for what you've been up to. And I can't wait to see what else you all are creating as well. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.